This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
For those that have made the effort to come to the house of the Lord tonight, I believe with all my heart you'll not be disappointed. The Lord's going to minister to you. I woke up with a thought on my heart this morning. And the Lord has allowed me throughout the day just to meditate on these things. And I'm going to bring you to this portion of Scripture by God's grace tonight. Psalm 53. If you'll turn there in the Old Testament, I want to talk about living in fear where no fear is. Living in fear. How many are living in fear tonight? You don't have to raise your hand. As Pastor Neil said, we don't want to deal with that. But you don't have to live in fear if you're a Christian, because there's no fear where you are. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, God, with all my heart for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the strength that you give every time your word is opened and every time the hearts of your people embrace truth. Oh, Jesus, anoint me tonight to be able to bring this with clarity and with authority, and anoint every heart to hear it. God, let your kingdom advance tonight with great power in the hearts of the hearers. And I thank you, Lord, that as in the day of Jonathan and his armor bearer, all they took is a half an acre, and it brought a terrible shaking into the camp of the enemy. I pray, God, that every person who's living in fear would get up and advance in the strength of God. Father, thank you for this with all my heart tonight. We give you praise and glory for your anointing in Jesus' name. Psalm 53, a psalm of David. And I'm going to share with you as we go on. I believe that David is looking back in retrospect on something that we're going to talk a little bit about this evening. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They're altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and they've not called upon God? There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Then in verse 6, David cries out, Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion! When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. When we read this scripture, and I've heard it quoted so many times, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But folks, that's an incredible statement, and it's a little more complex than it appears on the surface. When we think of the fool who says in his heart, there is no God, we think initially of the person who just makes this kind of a declaration. The foolish man who walks around in our society, or the woman today who just makes this declaration, there is no God. This is the person who argues with the reasoning that God gave him, that the God who gave him the power to reason doesn't exist. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think about it. Think about having a child for a moment. And one day that child walks into your house and says, I don't believe you exist. Whether or not you used to be my father or my mother, I believe you're just a figment of my imagination and you no longer exist. You'd look at that child and say, am I not the one that, did I not give you life? How do you get clothing on your back? Where did this roof come from that's over your head? And the breath that you breathe every day and the beat, every beat that comes into your heart, do you think that just happened naturally? Did you just all of a sudden exist? Was there not somebody involved in the creation of who you are? And if that child, of course, continued to deny that you existed, Imagine going into the marketplace and meeting your friends, and you say, well, this is my son, the fool. This is my daughter, the fool, who believes that I don't exist. And how embarrassing, for lack of a better word, it must be to God when he looks down at those he's created and they walk around the earth. The earth that is in the universe, that moves like clockwork, that is held by the word of his power, where there's a testimony every day with the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun in the evening that God is in fact alive. And yet in the midst of all of this, there are men and women born who've been allowed to breathe the breath of life by God Almighty himself, who run around in our world saying there is no God. As foolish as that may be. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 22 talks about the fact that there is a declaration in nature itself that God exists. And therefore, every man, every woman, every child that will ever be born will one day stand before God without excuse. Every nation, every culture, every language have an opportunity by the very heavens themselves, by the very majesty and the clockwork of the universe, to know that there is a God. And God allowed it that way so that every person ever created in the image of God would be able to cry out and say, Lord, who are you? I want to know who you are. I heard a testimony recently of a man that we once employed in this church to preach the gospel, to re-preach the gospel that was preached here in Iran. I heard a testimony of a person who heard the voice of this man in Iran and went out into the yard and cried out and said, is this true? Is there a God? And if so, who are you? Will you declare yourself to me? And this person makes the claim that they saw the virtual image of Jesus Christ in the heavens appear to them. I believe with all of my heart. I've heard testimonies over the years of people in prisons in China who began to cry out and say, if there is a God, would you show me who you are? I've heard testimonies of Christ manifesting himself in prison cells in various ways and giving the revelation of who he is right into a person's heart, just like he did to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Anyone who cries out, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the scripture says, will be saved. Whoever calls out, and all of heaven and all of the universe makes a very plain and open declaration of who God Almighty is in Christ Jesus. David said in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? David says, God, I look into the vastness of your universe. I see the magnificence of your power and creation. I know what you are capable of doing. I see this incredible majesty. God, why is it that you have such a concern about me? That's what David was saying. What is man that you even think about him? For David, of course, knew what's, as we should know today, what's in the hearts of men who have rebelled against their own creator. What is it, God, that causes you to look upon us? Have you considered tonight how special you are to God? Have you considered that the universe only continues to operate in its present order because God is waiting for you to come home to him? He could quite easily fold the whole thing up tonight and start over and recreate it. Why doesn't he do it? It's because he's mindful of you. It's because he gave you the breath of life. It's because he loved you with an everlasting love. It's because you are created from his heart. You are created for fellowship with him for all of eternity. It pains the heart of God, the thought of losing you for eternity. The ultimate tragedy of the fool is finally one day realizing this unmeasurable depth of God's love. Finally, one day standing before the throne of God, one day having your eyes opened. If you're here tonight and in your heart you've not bent your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if there's a stubbornness in you that in a sense says there's no God that has the right to govern my life, there's no God to whom I should bend my knee, there's no God that has the right to call himself Lord of my life, and to one day stand before the throne of God, and in a moment of time, you will have an understanding of a love that has come from the one who created you that is so unmeasurable It's so beyond anything you can think or even fathom. And for a moment, you will realize it, only to be put out of the presence of that love for eternity. We have only a dim concept of what hell is really like. The Bible declares it to be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, declares it to be a place of burning and torment. And I often wonder, God, what is the very source of that torment? What's the very source of that weeping and gnashing? And I do believe, in measure, it's having stood before God and having finally understood the mercy, the incredible compassion, the incredible depth of God's love. What you could have partaken of for all of eternity. How you could have walked in this incredible and unmeasurable peace forever. And been part of this great cosmos that is always ongoing by the creative power of the Word of God. And yet, because of foolishness in the human heart, you pushed His love and His life away from you. Not just for time, but for all of eternity. How foolish. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool creates his own standard of right and wrong. The fool says there is no God. I think also of the man who or woman who fashions in his thinking who God, a God who will not hold him accountable for willful and wrong actions which he commits, which are in violation of truth. There's something in the heart of man, fallen man, that always wants to create his own God. You ever notice that? Aaron is only a few days away from Moses, in a sense, who's bringing the revelation of who God is to that particular generation. Just a few days away, and he's collecting earrings and throwing them into a fire and fashioning a cow. How stupid can people be? Fashioning a cow and saying, these be thy gods who brought thee out of Egypt, O Israel. Let's hold a party now to our cow. And let's worship this thing. There's something in the heart of man who wants to form his own God. It's the kind of a God he would like to serve. And have you noticed today that churches have become like shopping malls for God shoppers who pass through churches and say, well, no, that's not quite the Christ that I'd like to serve. And so they move on and say, what kind of a Christ do you have? What have you fashioned? Oh, that's nice. I like this Christ. Yeah, he doesn't ask you to go to the mission field. He tolerates your sin. He doesn't request or require separation from the world or repentance for wrong or restitution for past things that can be restored. No, this Christ just accepts everybody. I like this Christ. A shopping mall where errands of our present generation have taken gold and they fashioned their own God. And it's like a marketplace where whoever can create the most palatable Christ is getting the crowds. God shoppers. In Psalm 50, verse 15, here's what the Lord says to the God shoppers. Unto the wicked, verse 15, he says, God says, what have you to do to declare my statutes, or you should take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and you've been a partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth evil, and thy tongue framest deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, and slanderest thine own mother's son. These things have you done, and I kept silence. Now here's the issue. This is a type of a person who's almost all in all wickedness. And yet in verse 21, he says, these things you did, I kept silence, and you thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself. And that's the ultimate dilemma of those who fashion their own God. You thought I was just like you. Folks, we're living in that kind of a generation right now. People are going to churches all over America today thinking that God is just like they are. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us that Now, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, this is an interesting thing, because in the chapter just before this, Aaron had been there when people had murmured in the wilderness and the judgment of God came on them. And Aaron was aware of this. I want to suggest to you that Aaron had this propensity in his heart still to fashion his own God. And he's fashioning a God who would not judge his wrong. How does a man with this kind of knowledge come back to this thing again? He's never dealt with this issue. He's never really embraced the God of Moses, the God who judges wrong, the God who has a standard that will not be violated without consequence. He's never embraced this. He's still in his mind fashioning his own God. How else does he get to the place where he speaks against this man of God without any pangs of conscience, without any sense of doing wrong? He's still fashioning his own God, not believing that God would judge him. But God set these things in order. He says in verse 22 of Psalm 50, "Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver you. Whosoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." God says, I have a standard of right and I have a standard of wrong. And those who are mine come to truth, they embrace truth, and they do not try to mold God to their image of themselves, but rather they let the Holy Spirit mold them into the image of God. Those who are in Christ embrace the change that God brings into a life. Thieves start to work and make an honest living. Liars begin to speak truth. People who are unmerciful find the mercy of God not only extended to them, but extended through them to others around them. Selfish people become compassionate and begin to give of themselves and the resources God has given to them to the needs of others. There is a change. There is a transformation. They are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the very image of the Christ who lives within them. This is the irrefutable evidence that truly you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Folks, if there's no change, if you're trying to make God like you are, you're living in a deception. It's a fool's paradise. There's no true salvation there. If you are truly a Christian, you are changing into the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are deeply grateful for it. You yearn and long for more. You can hardly wait for the next day because you know that God is about to make deeper change in your heart. Hallelujah. Lord says, I will set these things in order. And remember in Numbers chapter 12 that Miriam became leprous. There was a disease, as it is, that came upon her because of the things that she and Aaron had done. And God set these things in order. Folks, you're wise to allow the Holy Spirit, especially in our generation we're living in now, to set your thinking in order about who Jesus Christ is, what we are called to be in Him. Don't be afraid of living for Him. There's no greater life that you could live than to be yielded to the purposes of God and to let the Holy Spirit begin to change you. Hallelujah. I would hate to be in church living a religious existence. What a fool's way of worshiping God to not let the Holy Spirit be changing you every day from image to image and glory to glory. Back again in Psalm 50. Verse 2, we're talking about Psalm 53, it says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Verse 2 says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. The scripture tells us elsewhere that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right towards him. I believe tonight the Lord is looking, even in this sanctuary, down from heaven, looking to the children of men to see, are there any here who understand? Are there any true seekers of God? If you have a true heart tonight, you'll be astounded at the power of God that is available to you. The explosion of knowledge that will come into your mind, the strength that God will give you, the power that will become yours over all of your enemies. You'll find that there's no prison door that can hold you. There's no wound of the past that can continue to bruise you. There's no behavior that can continue to dominate you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. God says, I look down from heaven. Who is willing to walk with me? Who's willing to be conformed to my image? Who is willing to come into my presence? Who is willing to open their heart to my word? Who is willing to walk with me in this evil generation? Folks, many, many people in the Church of Jesus Christ have played many, many games for many, many years. But we're living now in a generation where those whose hearts are not right before God are not going to make it through the coming days. We're inundated by evil. There's a huge turning away now from the things of God. The airwaves are filled with filth all around us. God says, I'm looking to the sons of men. Who understands who I am? Who's willing to turn from iniquity and willing to turn to me and let me show myself strong on your behalf? Oh God, have a testimony in this generation is the cry of my heart. Have a testimony in New York City. Have a testimony in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island and Manhattan, all over the city. God, have a testimony in this last hour of time. When all people around in this city are foolish enough to say there is no God, let there be a body of believers in this hour that proves them wrong. Let there be irrefutable evidence in you and in me that there is a God. He has to be reckoned with. He is supernatural. He does triumph over our enemies. In the scripture says clearly that the age of the church is to be a compelling testimony in our generation that Christ is alive. My life is to be a compelling testimony, not an argument, a compelling testimony. There's a difference. When people look and say, only God could bring that man or woman through this situation. Only God could change him. Only God could have changed her. Only God could keep them in the midst of this crisis that they're going through. Only God could do this. My life is to be a compelling testimony that the fool around me who says there is no God is confronted with the reality of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead and does sit at the right hand of all power. The fool says there is no God. But God looked down to see if there's any that did understand and did seek him. Verse 5, David says, there they were in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamps against thee, and thou hast put them to shame because God has despised them. Now think of it for a moment. This is King David. I believe he's looking backwards in retrospect. He remembers the day that he walked into the camp sent by his father with a bit of cheese and some bread on a donkey coming in to bid his brothers good. He remembers the day when the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, were encamped against Israel on the other side of a great valley. He remembers the day when a giant called Goliath was standing up and coming into the valley every day and challenging the armies of Israel, saying, give me a man to fight with me. And if there's a man among you that can defeat me, then we will be your servants forever. But if not, if you fight and I win, then you will be our servants forever. He remembers the day when Saul and all the armies of Israel were standing around, trembling, all around, unable to fight. David says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. When we see the power of our enemies and we magnify the power of our enemies above the power of our God, we are in a foolish position. God is more powerful than any enemy that will ever come against you. He's more powerful than any struggle or any fear that you will ever have to face. All the devil has is a loud voice. And a roar across a valley. That's all he's got. Christ has triumphed over him. You are free in the strength of Christ. There's no sin that has power or dominion over your life any longer. There's no cultural heritage. There's no lack of education. There's no words that somebody has spoken over your life as you were growing up that can stop the kingdom of God from progressing in your life, that can stop the greatness of God from using you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are created to glorify Him on the face of the earth. You are created to be a living testimony of the reality that Jesus triumphed over the powers of hell and death. But when you magnify your enemies above the greatness of your God, you are saying in your heart, there is no God. That's exactly what Saul was doing. That's exactly what the men of Israel were doing. They were looking down at this loudmouth giant on the other side of the valley. And in their hearts, they were saying, there is no God. Now, David said, there they were in great fear where no fear was. Here's a young boy comes into the camp. And the scripture says, when the giant made this bold proclamation against the things of God and the armies of God, says they all trembled. Saul trembled and the warriors trembled. There's a trembling. Now, it's supposed to be the devil's camp that trembles. But here are the people of God trembling. And we are living in a generation where giants are on every side. Filth and perversion are all around us now. Confusion seems to reign even in the camp of God's people in many cases. All these giants claiming that they have the power as it is to eradicate the testimony of Jesus Christ. David says, there they were in great fear where no fear was. Here's a young boy that comes in and he's walked with God and knows God. He walks into the middle of the camp and says, what's everybody afraid for? This loudmouth giant is attacking the integrity of God. Is there not a cause? Now, people get very annoyed with him because he's exposing their bankrupt spirituality as they see themselves. David knew something. He said in verse 5, he says, God has already scattered the bones of him that encamps against thee, and he's put them to shame. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll go back there with me just for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, David knew this. The scripture said he in verse 45, and this is exactly the man who knows or the woman who knows there is a God, says he came to the Philistine and he said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Remember, he said in Psalm 53, where we started, he's already scattered to the bones of those that are encamped against you. It's already done. Do you know tonight that your enemies are already defeated? Do you know that those that are things that are roaring at you have already been triumphed over? They're simply an illusion. Standing and trying to make you believe that they have authority, they have power, that you can't defeat them, you can't beat them, when their bones have already been scattered round about in the valley. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and when he breathed his last breath, he said, it is finished. The reign of hell and terror is over. The power of evil is triumphed over. And David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, verse 46, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. David says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But that day, David knew there was a God. David knew the Philistine army was already defeated. Before he went into the battle, he saw Goliath dead. He saw his head taken off his body. He saw the host of the armies of the Philistines scattered about and vultures literally eating from them. He saw it before he even went into the battle. That's why David said, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I want to ask you a question tonight. What do you say about God? What is he able to do for you? You have a choice to make tonight. I have a choice to make tonight. You can stand on the hill, sit on the hillside and listen to the voice of your condemner for the rest of your life and amount to nothing in God. You can go to Bible studies. You can study about God. You can polish your armor until you can see the reflection of your face in it. But there is a point where you've got to believe that God is able to give you the victory. There is a point, folks, when you've got to get up and you've got to go into the valley If you have no more than just one promise from the Word of God, you've got to go into the valley and face your enemies. And say, you're not defying me. You are defying the God who created this universe and bought me with His own blood. He has interwoven the very honor of His name in keeping me and sustaining me and using my life for His glory. You're not defying me. You're defying the God who bought me with His blood 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. There's a point where you have to stand up and say, there is a God, and He's bigger than everything that's come against me. He's bigger than my struggle. He's bigger than my fears. He's bigger than my past. He's bigger than my concept of myself and my own future. He's bigger than all of this. He's bigger than my frailties. He's bigger than my weaknesses. He's bigger. He made my mouth. He made my eyes. He's able to create and recreate me according to His word. I believe Him with all my heart that He will use me to honor and to glorify His name. David said in verse 47, "And all this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." The battle is the Lord's, folks. I believe with all my heart that's one of the reasons why God has called me to preach His gospel. I was the bound of the bound. I was the weakest of the weak. I was the hopeless of the hopeless. But Jesus Christ came into my heart and I believed Him and stood up against the powers of darkness. And said, I'd rather die believing God than live in unbelief. Hallelujah. There's a point. I remember when I was a young believer, the Lord began to speak to me that He wanted to use my life for His glory. Now, you're looking at a man that if I was in a room of 12 people and somebody singled me out, I would run out of the room. And if I didn't run out of the room, I would panic. And I ran the danger of passing out. It had happened to me a couple of times. But I read in the Scriptures where it says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And you say, well, where did you start? Did you just all of a sudden pop into a pulpit somewhere and start preaching to people? No, do you know where it started? I stopped running out of the room. The Lord told me, stop running out of the room. And that's where it started. I'd be in a room of 12 people. And I knew in the classroom, especially when I went to school, and I knew that eventually a teacher's attention might focus on me. And the Lord said, hold your ground. You remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? They only took it half an acre. It only seemed like a small, insignificant victory. But when that half an acre was taken, folks, it sent a shudder right through the ranks of hell. The Bible says an earthquake actually happened and a trembling went through the whole host because finally somebody again was believing God. They didn't look at their victory as insignificant. It was an incredible victory for me, folks, to stay in the room. But I stayed in the room. And I would quote that scripture, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, Paul said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And I remember sitting there and I'd quote that scripture in my heart. It was the only stone I had against this giant of fear. But I stood my ground. It was a small victory. But it was a much greater victory than I'd ever anticipated. And then from holding my ground in the room, then the invitations began to come to speak to little groups of people. 10 here, 8 here, half a dozen over here. Folks, I would be in the bathroom before speaking to these small groups and I'd be throwing up. I'd be so sick. I'd be so nervous. But I'd be quoting that scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power. Not only am I not running out of the room, now I'm running into the room. And I'm running into it in the strength of my God. And I began to speak to these little groups of people. And folks, I would walk in and I'd be sick in my heart. But I said, God, I am not backing away from this battle. And I would start to speak and the anointing would come every time. People's lives would be challenged. I'd be dumbfounded walking out. You see, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. God says, I'll fill your mouth if you'll just open it. I put a river of living water in you. If you just open your mouth, I'll speak through you and lives will be transformed. It's been an incredible journey, folks. So I'm not standing in this pulpit tonight bringing you something that's just theory out of a book. I've walked this. I've lived this. I know this. This is an hour where God is calling for the Davids again of this generation. The young, the weak, the insignificant, the nobodies who just finally said, I'm not living here anymore. I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm not encamping among the trembling. I'm going to get up and I'm going to fight this fight of faith for the honor and glory of God. I'm not going to be found among the fools of this generation who say there is no God. I believe there is a God. I believe He can change us. I believe He can use us. I believe He can vanquish the enemies of hell. I believe He can open every prison door. I believe that nations have to give up all of those that are captivated by the powers of evil. I believe He can bring peace in Burundi between Tutsis and Hutu tribes. I believe it! It's time to stand up. It's time to get rid of the shopping mall for God mentality. And stand up. Say, there is a God. I know His name. I know what He's done for me. And I'm not listening to these voices anymore. David finishes Psalm 63 with a cry. Oh, he says, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. David says, oh, that I could see it again. Oh, that Israel could lay hold of this. I've seen it. I've walked in it. I've experienced it. I've known it. I had the sword in my hand. I took this giant's head off. What a victory was won that day. I saw in my spirit the bones of my enemies scattered on the earth before the battle even began. I saw the defeat of my enemies. Oh, that Israel could lay hold of this again. Oh, that there could be this kind of faith arise in the hearts of God's people. And then he finishes and he says, when God brings back the captivity of His people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. David saw it again, but this time he didn't see it for the Philistines. He saw Israel rising again. He saw the people of God standing up, perhaps time and again through the course of history. Someone here, someone there, someone here, someone there stood up and said, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. And I'm not living in fear where no fear is. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be counted for Him. I'm going to face my deepest fears. And God is going to be honored through my life. Hallelujah. Now the choice is yours. You can sit here tonight and be a fool. It's your choice. And say there is no God. Oh, it's great that He did that for Pastor Carter, but He'll never do it for me. Oh, my enemies are too big. Or you can stand up. New York needs people who are going to stand up now. In the business world, in the entertainment world, in Wall Street, in every borough, in every company, in every neighborhood, in every apartment building, in every bodega. God needs people who are going to stand up. I want to give an altar call tonight. I want to give an altar call for people who you're facing a fear that is crippling you. That's what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart tonight. You're afraid that God's going to ask you to do this one thing that you are so afraid to do. But you see, what you fail to realize is that's where you will find the strength of God. God will help you. And the scripture says, and that right early. God will help you. And if you can see it tonight, the bones of your enemies are already scattered on the earth. The getting up and letting God be God in your life begins tonight. I believe that this is going to be the beginning of a brand new journey for many. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me now. Use my life for your glory. You'll begin to experience the supernatural life of Jesus Christ. He'll give you compassion, give you words. He'll begin to use you. Not everybody's going to preach to thousands, but you will have the compassion to speak to one or two or three. The giftings of the Holy Spirit begin to flow through you. And you begin to realize that this is a supernatural kingdom. Power and the glory all belong to God. If you'll get up tonight and face your giant, I've known the victory, and I think I speak for every pastor on this platform. We've all known this kind of battle, and we've known the victory. God will be glorified through you. If the Holy Spirit's spoken to you tonight, and you want to stand up, and in your situation say, there is a God. There is a God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to invite you to join me here, and we're going to pray together. Please, if you would stand. The balcony, you can go to either exit and make your way down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There is a God. Let's let New York City know that there is a God. There is a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe. God, we believe in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you take the weakest and the foolish, you say in your scriptures, and you take the unwise, and you take those that are nobody and nothing, that you might bring to nothing things that glory in their own strength. Lord, that you might be glorified in the people. Father, we release our lives to you tonight. We ask you, Jesus, to come and be God to us and be God through us. Take us everywhere that you want us to go. And make us all that you want us to be. All that we ask, Lord, is that you be glorified in us. Be glorified in us, O God. Lord, put what we need into our hearts and into our lives. We don't want to try to mold you into the image of ourselves. We want to be molded into the image of our Christ. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and form the very image of Jesus Christ within us. God, take us into the life of Christ and let the life of our Jesus be manifested through us to this generation. Take us beyond our natural abilities and our natural borders. Take us beyond what people have said about us, O God, and bring us into the supernatural life that you've won for us on Calvary. My God, my God, my God, I pray for every person at this altar, Lord, that you make us an irrefutable evidence of the fact that you are alive from the dead. God, do this. Do this in Times Square Church. Lord, have a testimony in the city in this last hour of time. God, we don't want just another church, just more songs in the city. My Jesus, my Christ, we want a testimony. Oh God, we're crying out for a testimony in our generation. God Almighty, here we are, as Isaiah was. Here we are, oh God, send us, Lord. Send us, oh God. Send us, God, into our neighborhood. Send us, Lord, into the workplace. Send us, oh God, and use us for your glory. My Jesus, we stand against every weapon of hell. Satan, we resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot stop the glory of God. You cannot stop the testimony of Jesus Christ. Your bones are scattered around the earth. You are triumphed over by the power of our God. You can't stop the testimony of God's glory. You can't confine the church of Jesus Christ. We have triumphed over you in our Christ. We tread you underfoot. We are going into this city to take back what you have stolen and to see men and women released to the glory of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for using me. Thank you, God. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified, oh God. Be glorified. Be glorified in us, oh God. Be glorified. Be glorified, Holy Spirit. Be glorified, oh God. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Oh, God, thank you. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God. Pastor Neil, please come lead us in prayer. We're going to spend a few moments. It's only 1:45. Folks, we need to just take this to the throne now. Take this to the throne. You've heard this truth. Do not leave here. You must not be denied. You will not be denied. Take this to the throne. Take it to the throne. Let it be deep in your heart. Let it go deep into the fabric of who God is in you. You will not be denied. You cannot be denied. You must not be denied. Christ will be glorified in you. Lift your voices and thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for hearing your cry. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, with everything in us, Lord. With everything in us, we say thank you, Lord. You're going to show yourself strong. God, thank you. Now, beloved, remember this. You start by not running out of the room. If you can remember anything, remember that. Then once you've got that ground, then you start running into the room. One step at a time. Scripture says line upon line, little by little. But you start moving forward and don't turn back. Don't let any enemy turn you back now from what God wants to do through your life. Father, bless this congregation tonight. God, bless us with the knowledge of who you are. Bless us with believing hearts. Bless us with the passion to never turn from you and to always turn towards you. Bless us with the ability to love the unlovable and to speak even to those that gnash their teeth against truth. God, give us compassion and power beyond our natural abilities. Take us, Lord, where only you can go, and make us aware that daily we're living in the supernatural life of the Holy Spirit. Make us aware of this. I pray for words of knowledge to abound. True words of knowledge, Lord, not speculative speaking, but that which comes from the heart of God. I pray for compassion. I pray for tenderness and boldness. I pray for the absence of fear. I pray for an overwhelming love for lost humanity. I pray for the ability to stand in the marketplace and in apartment buildings and in our own homes and among our own families without shame and without fear, unashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you make each of us a soul winner. Father, that we'd not appear before your throne with empty baskets one day, but God, we will have been used of you to reap a harvest that brings honor and glory to your name. God, give us compassion for this young generation who are so confused, who are raised without the knowledge of God. They're so angry. I pray, God, give us compassion. Give us words to reach their hearts. Lord, send a revival among the youth of New York City. I pray, God, with all my heart that you fill this house every Friday night to standing room only with teenagers from these five boroughs seeking the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to manifest your glory in this sanctuary every time the young people meet in your name. God Almighty, they don't need an argument about you. They need an experience with you. They need a supernatural touch from heaven. Lord God, do this. We yield this church to these purposes. We yield our lives to these purposes. All we ask is that Jesus Christ be glorified. Be glorified here, O God. Be glorified. Be loved. Be appreciated, O God. Let your power be glorified in this house, O God. And we will be quick to give you the honor and the glory. We know what we are without you, but we know that in you we can do all things. You have triumphed, O Jesus. We declare that triumph to our generation. We thank you from the very depths of our heart. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Be glorified in this last hour of time, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Give him one last shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Save thousands, save thousands, save thousands, save thousands of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, folks, we have reason to rejoice tonight. Let's leave this house rejoicing. Let's leave here encouraged. Let's leave here believing God with all our hearts. God bless you.
This is the conclusion of the message.